brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He indeed is Lord. Jesus is our Savior. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the way out of the matrix, out of the prison of this world that is just designed to scalp souls, the souls of humanity, of your free will, mind you. They need your participation. They need you to give yourself over to that system, either through willingly participating in the seduction or giving up just because the oppression is just too much and you just can't take it, or just a host of things. What are the things that destroy those plants as they're growing up? The seed that was scattered, different types, they all fell on different types of soil, and one type choked out by the weeds, the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this life, choke it and make it unfruitful. The worries, the things that perplex you, and that all of a sudden now you go, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we've got that scripture in Proverbs as a warning. There's a way, so all people get worried and perplexed, and in trying to save their own life, they lose it. In trying to save their own skin, they lose it. In trying to go their own way, they lose it, because they look at things from a natural perspective rather than allowing the Spirit of God to lead and guide them into all truth. So just even as Peter started out great when he was walking on the water to Jesus, he saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." Peter hopped out of the boat in the middle of the storm and started walking towards Jesus. And all of a sudden, he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking around at all the waves and all the wind and all the tossing and turning to and fro around him. And that all of a sudden took precedent over what he was focused on before, which was Christ, the hope of glory, which was Christ, the door, which was Christ, the one giving him his directives, his instructions, the one that was walking on the storm in the first place, the one that was standing there solid in the middle of it all. And he took his eyes off of him and he looked at his surroundings, and in doing so, he began to sink. The worries of this world will make you sink into the quagmire of this world. The worries of this world will make you fall into this trap that is there, that is around all of us. And as the world gets more and more desperate to harvest the souls of man in this time, and women in this time, it is going to bring more things that perplex people. In fact, to the extent that scriptures talk about that men's hearts will fail them when they see the things coming upon the earth. And we are moving more and more into that time. We are moving more and more into a time where already people are crumbling and falling apart in the little bit that's already begun to take place. And, you know, like I've been telling some of my friends recently too, we're just getting started. So, now how now do you live? Well, start by keeping your eyes on Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's going to take care of your needs. Seek first. God will keep him in perfect peace whose eyes are fixed on Him, whose heart is fixed on Him, whose mind is fixed on Him, whose focus is on Him. He will keep you in not just some sort of peace, not just a little bit of peace. He will keep you in perfect peace. God's going to give you stillness in your spirit amidst the external storms of life. That's why Jesus was saying, even when He was in Jerusalem, prior to His crucifixion, mind you, to His disciples, "Peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. I don't give you peace like the world gives." Why? Because the way the world works is external hostilities. They try to get a cessation of those. But there's never a resolve within the spirit of man. So you can, in the world, you know, with all the fighting and the turmoil that goes on, and even if they can get people to stop shooting at each other for a moment, because there's nothing resolved within them, because the war is within them as well, because they're split. and they're not restored, and they're not on the way to the path of life and truth. So there will always be raging within. So there is no peace without Jesus. There is no peace without Him. There is no way forward without Him. There is no answer without Him. So the peace that the world gives, it's even if everything, even if they get their utopia, they're miserable. Even if they get everything that they want, they're miserable. Even if they get everything that they want, they're not happy. You can be sitting in, you know, a Michelin 3-star restaurant and be miserable. Surrounded by a bunch of pretentious people, you can be miserable. You could also go there and have a great time. But without Christ, you're going to be missing the main piece. You're missing the main course. You're missing that He said he's the bread of life. You have to eat of that bread of life if you're going to ever have life in you. You have to drink of the water of life if you're ever going to have life in you. And that life overflows through you. Through out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's what you want. And the world understands and sees and knows that it's lacking, and yet it refuses to come to the source of life so that they could have life and have it more abundantly. When Jesus was praying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you only knew what made for your peace, but now is taken from you." It's hidden from you. You can't see it. You don't understand it. You don't get it. The world right now, if they only knew what made for peace, but they don't get it. They don't get it. Hey, if you are ever on our Facebook page, or you've ever seen that 2-minute gospel, I tell you what, it's there. It's up. It's been around. Send that link around to people, because people need to hear that message. It's 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's all it is. They just need to listen to it. It will make a difference. And you don't even have, all you have to do is just send it to somebody and say, "Hey, I heard this. What do you think of this?" You don't even have to give an opinion about it. Just pass it on to people. Because they need to hear the good news. They need to know the gospel message. They need to know that there's a way out. They need to know that God is there in the middle of this. If there is any hope for any of them whatsoever, if they will bow their knee to the King of Kings, if He is calling them, if He is tapping them on the shoulder, they need to hear that good news. And they need to know that the way out is Christ. The way out and the way through is Him. And the world is going to try to worry you and get your minds all over the place so that you cannot focus on Christ, and that you don't focus on Christ, that you focus on all the waves and all the turmoil. But you can have peace in the middle of that storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You can have peace in the middle of all that's going on right now. Keep your eyes on Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's going to take care of the other things. Seek Him first in the middle of whatever it is that you have going on. God's going to watch over you. He's promised this. Oh, ye of little faith, why do you worry? Why are you perplexed? You've been put in this life at such a time as this for this time, because God has an assignment, because He wanted ambassadors of light and truth here in the middle of a dark time to speak His word. It's not about your retirement here. It's not about your 401k. It is not about you making everything work out in this life. It's about Him. You and I, my friends, we are transitioning through this life. This is not our home. We visit this paradigm and this dimension for a window and for a season. Yes, it's a bit of a rough spot. Yes, there's some things that go on here and there that are not pleasant, not nice. They are what they are. Okay, fine. Father God, what do you want us to do about it? Do you want us to act? Do you want us to engage? Do you want us to do something? Do you want us to pray? Father, reporting for duty, what is the course of action in this particular situation, whatever it may be? Oh, you want me to shut the TV off? Fine, I can do that too. You know, what is it? What do you need? What is it that you would desire of me, Father? Because I want to walk with you. I want to know you. I need to know your voice, to walk in that peace, to walk in your presence, to hear your voice, to be what you made me to be. Hello. Yes. All right, so we're there. That's what we want. That's our desire. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door is open. You have not because you ask not. Ask. But ask for those things. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you are asking for the things relating to the kingdom. So you want to walk in His peace. You want to know His voice. You want to understand the reason for which God has brought you into the earth at such a time as this, so that you can fulfill it. Oh my gosh, it is a beautiful thing to fulfill the purpose for which you came into the earth for. You're not just trying to survive here, my friends. You're not just trying to make it through. God brought you here in this life, in this season. There was a reason for it. You know, I've gone through those seasons for myself where I've thought about, you know, okay, you know, because we've come into this life and you kind of, it's a bit foggy. Takes you know, some time to even wipe the sleep away from your eyes of wondering, what am I doing here? How did I get here? How did I get here? What is this? But you're here. You wake up in this reality. You're here. And even though this is the you know, as the Eastern side would talk about, the Maya, the illusionary world, and yet you're in the middle of the illusion. So how do you relate to the illusion? How do you relate to the illusion that you keep waking up in every day until you die, until you pass on? Well, all right, Father, show me. Show me how I should relate while I'm here in this dream world. Show me how I should relate while I have to deal with this three-dimensional space. Show me, Father God, how I am supposed to act and what I'm supposed to do when I'm surrounded by evil forces. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, high places. That's what our fight is against. We battle not against flesh and blood, but those things are raging against you, and you've been given greater power in Christ Jesus to deal with those things. You are the overcomers. You are the overcomers. You are the ones that have that power. The world has no power in and of itself. If you are in the world system and you think that you're going to change it from within, you're not. You do not have power in that, because the very fact when you go into that, you are subject to the hierarchy that you're within. Sure, you might try to do a couple good deeds here and there, but ultimately you're paralyzed. Because by being part of that structure, it will just seep into your spirit, seep into your mind, into your soul. You have to let God lead you and God guide you and God position you and God place you. And just like a Joseph, He may put you in a spot and raise you up. But that's Him doing it, not you of yourself. Back to the worry. The worry is the riches and the pleasures of this world. That's you of your worry wondering, how am I going to take care of this stuff? How am I going to provide for things? What am I going to do? Looking at all the things going around. Lord, what do I do? Yes, you've got to change that perspective. Let God lead you. He may move you out. He may keep you where He wants you to be. You remember there was that the guy that Jesus cast the demons out of, and he wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, what I want you to do is I want you to go back and I want you to tell everybody all the things that God has done for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all. This doesn't fit the Sunday program, my friends. The true walk in Christ doesn't fit the Sunday program. The true walk in Christ is you reporting before the King of Kings, bowing your knee before Him, boldly coming before the throne of grace, receiving from Him the Word, letting that Word resonate within you, and letting Him lead and direct your life, your time in the earth, as an extension of Him in the earth. You are the branches. He is the vine. You've been ingrafted into Him. You are an extension of Him. His life flows through you. You bear fruit. You bear the very presence of God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, thoughtfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these there is no law. God has put those things in you, and they flow through and grow through you because you walk with Him. Ephesians 5, 22 through 23. Yes, those are the things that grow out of your life, my friends. Oh. But you got to keep your eyes on Christ. You got to keep your focus towards Him. He's going to be the one that leads and guides you into all truth by His Spirit. But the world is not going to stop. It is going to persist to try to move forward with its agenda to try to scalp as many souls as possible before this whole thing is done. Now, along the lines of what the world is going to try to do is with you, my friends, if you're not going to play ball with the world, then what it's going to try to do is it's going to try to marginalize you. It's going to try to put you on the outskirts. It's going to try to deny opportunity to you, deny chances to you, deny platforms to you where you could potentially be effective, deny whatever it is where you could have a voice, or to smear you, or to rail against you, or to stalk you, whatever it may be. The world will come at you in these different ways. That's just par for the course, my friends. That's just part of what it is to be in a place like this with a spiritual opposition against you that flows into those that are on that side because they've committed to that hierarchy. See, when you're in the side of the world and you're under, Luke chapter 4, Jesus was offered all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this devil wanted him to do was bow down and worship me. Come under my authority structure. Come under, you are going to submit yourself to me, is what the devil wanted him to do. And in that process of trying to get, and what did Jesus say? He's like, scripture, he went back to the word, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's the truth. See, we only serve the King of Kings. We of our free will do not worship the world and the world system or the devil or any of that. But for those that have gone that way and have taken the offer to be something in the world, to be somebody, to be something in the world and the world system, and, you know, and a lot of times for a lot less, you know, be a celebrity or be a scrap of bread. Now, here's the thing. I want to clarify this too. Not everybody that is, you know, has resources in this world or is in some position that, no, it doesn't mean automatically, okay, instantly that they are part of that system. No, the wheat and the tares grow together. But the thing to know is that if you bow in your heart, your spirit to that system, it is going to infect you. It is going to take that willful choice that you've made and now use you as a pawn in that system. So now when you come under that system, now there are things that will, because that open door is there, spiritually will flow into that person and use that person. A lot of times too, they get, you know, special abilities and powers that come from that side. And demonic things that will work through that person, that will animate the gifts that may be in that person to help them to be, you know, perpetuate what? The world and the world system. The meat grinder. To steal, to kill, to destroy humanity. That's what it needs to be used for. Have you ever noticed with so much of the pop culture music, just a 3-minute song, 4-minute song, and yet the messages that are contained in that, of all the things that they could sing about. No, they need the infomercial. They need to sell that idea. That's why they pay them. Why? Because if you read a book, you might read that book 2-3 times. If it's a great book, usually you read a book once. If you read an article, you might read an article once or twice. But if you have a song that you like, you're going to listen to that thing 50, 100 times. You're going to play it all the time. It's going to be running in the background. So they know that. So it's a catchy thing. So it's a great way for them to use it as a messaging strategy to program people. So they lace it with everything they can. Now, when scriptures talk about Lucifer prior to the fall, it talks about him being in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, discussing how even musical instruments were part of his being. He was beautiful. So in the fall, it's no wonder that, see, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. When God gives something, he doesn't take it back. So when God put certain things inside of Lucifer, and with the fall that happened and that took place, those gifts were now then turned, and they're being used for that nefarious agenda to steal and to kill and to destroy. So it's no wonder that music, being such a powerful thing, has been turned into what it is in the current day and age that we live in. Just a simple example. And that's what the enemy will do, is he will take the skills, the gifts, the talents, the abilities that you have, and he will turn them to accomplishing his agenda. Now, we are behind enemy lines, my friends, in a war zone, and there are the souls of humanity in the balance. So, don't forget that. And also know that too, just like with Elijah, when they're surrounded by the Syrian armies, and he had to ask God, Lord God, open the eyes of this guy next to me so that he can see that those that are with us are greater than those that are against us. And when when God opened his eyes, the man saw chariots of fire and all the angelic hosts that were around. And brothers and sisters, I wish you could see that greater is the help and the support that is on our side. Just as greater is he that's with us and that's within us than he that's in the world. If you could see and understand that the greater one lives in you, the greater one flows through you, the greater host and power is with you, the greater power and authority is in you. See, you would move in that. See, here's something too. I want you to understand. See, we as well, just like people in the world have submitted to that system, well, we submitted to something too. When we surrendered our lives to Christ, God, you know, no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So the Spirit drew us. We submitted ourselves to him. We allowed for the free flow of his life in and through us, and we submitted ourselves completely to the kingdom, which has a king. And a dom, kingdom, king with a dominion. So we submitted ourselves to the king and his dominion. And in the realm of a king, what the monarch says goes. What he says happens. What he says, that's it. And in Jesus' name, we can rebuke every, and we do rebuke every power of the devil, and we send it back. We rebuke every attack of the devil, and we send it back. We rebuke every attempt of the enemy to thwart the things of God that God would send into our lives, and the things that the gifts of God, the talents of God, every attack of our against the people of God, we rebuke it in Jesus' name right now. The power was given to us. The power was put in us when we submitted ourselves to him. We walk in that power. And so we're not our own either. To live as Christ and to die as gain. We are not our own either. We've been bought and paid for with a price. We've been bought with the blood of the Son of God. We've been redeemed by him to live out our life and our time in the earth, this window in the earth, as for His purposes, His plan. You are not a free will agent in this place. You're not just floating on your own. No, you've been given assignment and purpose and reason for being and existing. And you got to tap into that. So, of course, the enemy of your soul is going to try to scatter you, going to try to send you a different direction, going to try to send you a different way, going to try to confuse you, going to try every form of witchcraft, which ultimately, so much of witchcraft is to try to get to your mind. Oh my gosh. If you could understand this thing, it would help you so much. So many of the attacks of the enemy are against your mind. Go all the way back into the garden. And the devil's first discussion with Eve on this subject, working her over, was, did God really say? Gotta mess with your mind. It's what they do. Did God really say? And got her to start going a different direction. Started in the mind and then worked itself out into every other area of their life to destroy, to steal, to kill, to destroy, to usurp what it was that God intended for them. To come in, to insert themselves, insert something else there to destroy the life that God intended for His creation, which is you and I. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's the call. For this reason, Christ Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Can I get an amen? That's what happens. When you walk with Christ, the works of the devil get destroyed in your own life and everywhere that you go. Because you shine bright. So it just starts to just disrupt things around you. You just go to a place and people start losing it. I will pull up in a parking lot and people will start to lose it. It is so funny. I will walk through a grocery store and people will start having just you can see it. There's a spiritual agitation that happens. And you know the other thing too is on the other side, they recognize you. And you recognize them. You can see it. You can sense it. You know. You know. You know when there's darkness in somebody else. You feel it. You sense it. You know it. Brothers and sisters, you need to trust the way the Spirit of God speaks to you. You need to trust those protectional gifts that God has put in you. Sometimes you'll meet a person, they'll be all smiles, and they'll be all nice, and they'll be all sweet, and they'll just be like honey to you. But something in you is like, you know, I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't sit right. Trust that. Because we're in a different time right now. And you need to make adjustments with the people that are around you. And the people that you allow close to be in your life, because that is going to be part of what will either help you to move forward even more or will hold you back. Because even as iron can sharpen iron, so one man sharpens another. It's also, scriptures also say that bad company corrupts good character. So, you know, basically the company that you keep can help you either go forward or will hold you and restrain you and pull you back. And you need to make willful decisions as led by the Spirit of God for the company that you keep, for the fellowship that you keep, for the things that flow into your mind. And I'm speaking too about also even some of the intake that comes through on the computers, on the TV, on the radio, all that kind of stuff. Be mindful of that. That is going to affect you. It is going to affect you. Now, what did Jesus do? He modeled this out while He was in this life. He was surrounded by the multitudes. But He went, He spent some time in prayer, and He came back from that, and He selected the 12. Well, within the multitudes, there was the 70, the 72. There was within the multitudes, there was the 12. Within the 12, there was even the 3. There's Peter, James, and John. And even within the 3, there was the 1. which was, you know, the disciple who Jesus loved, who, incidentally, even after everybody ran away at the crucifixion, you still see John show back up. And, you know, there's Mary, the mother of John, Mary Magdalene, and a handful of others, and John's there. You know, and so much so that Jesus gave John care of Mary. And Mary, he linked her as well with John. And he said, here is your son, and here is your mother. I mean, that's powerful, powerful stuff. But Jesus made a deliberate decision about the people that would be in these different circles of his life. And there were times where, depending on where somebody was, people tried. They tried to send them in a different direction. When Peter was when Jesus was talking about, it's time that I go to Jerusalem. There's crucifixion waiting for me. I've got to go that way. And Peter's like trying to stand between him, trying to stop him, saying, Lord, say that this is never going to happen. And Jesus had to say, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. He recognized that, even though it came from somewhere close. Because you're going to have that too. There's going to be that mix in there. Now, Peter's heart genuinely loved Christ, but he struggled and he jumped back and forth between understanding and walking in the things of God and just impulse acting out through his own human understanding and his own programming that he had had. But Jesus still had him close for a reason. You need to be mindful of that in this time. Because in this time that we're in, you're in that time where, you know, brother will betray brother. You know, your brother and father will betray, the people will betray each other. Families within their own families, the people are going to be betraying each other. People are going to be turning against one another. You're in that time. So be mindful of the people that are around you. Be mindful of the company that you keep. And make decisions, make conscious choices. Take a little stock of the people that are in your life and ask, is this person, do after being with or around this person, do you feel your spirit, is it filled? Are you moving forward in the things of God? Do you feel drained? Do you feel tired? Do you feel lethargic? Do you feel like they're just sucking the life out of you? Those are some good indicators. Take a little time. Stop. Do an inventory of the people that are in your life. Useful drill. And you can separate them into different categories. And you can make decisions of who needs to come close and who needs to stay further away. And it's an object lesson as well that Judas was the one that was able to betray Jesus. And even though that was part of God's plan and purpose, it also shows you too that those that are close to you are also the ones that can turn around and be the ones to betray you. And Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And so often the betrayal comes in things and in ways that it's amazing. And if you got to do it alone, you do it alone. See, that's part of this walk as well. If that's what's required, so be it. If that's what's necessary, so be it. You may have that Elijah experience where you're out there and you're praying and you're like, God, I'm the only one left. And God will have to quicken you and let you know. You know, look, I've reserved for myself 7,000 that haven't bowed. You're not the only one left. God has his people that are out there. And even there's more and more people waking up all the time. But if you've got to do it alone, then you'll do it alone. Because you found the pearl of great price. You refuse to bow your knee to this world and this world system. You refuse to follow the devil. You refuse to go that way. And you will go with Christ no matter what. You will go with him no matter what that means. You will forsake all things. It's fine. If that's what's necessary. Because you know and you have what's real and what's necessary and what's needed. What is a profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What do you get if you get it all, but you lose the very thing that's necessary, the very thing that's needed, the very thing that makes you you? If you turn your back on the King of Kings, what hope do you have? Now, we're in an amazing time. We're in an amazing time. We're in a time, you know, I saw something disturbing even this last weekend. I was invited to a convention, and you know, there was a guy that I met there, and he was working at one of these booths, and he had a Band-Aid on his hand. And I said, "Oh, what happened to your hand?" He said, "Oh, I got a chip put in it." I was like, "What?" He's like, "Oh yeah, he's like, "Oh yeah, it's just all this technology's out there right now, and it's so that he can open doors easily, have his biometrics on him, and he went through a few reasons of why he got it." He was like, "Oh, somebody's got to start doing it." And I was just in my spirit, I'm like, wow. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's stuff that is going to be brought forward and put out from the side of the enemy in time to come. And it's dangerous, and you don't want that. But it's this subtle thing that's going to just be incorporating people into that life and that lifestyle and get people addicted to these benefits and these conveniences. But it will destroy you. And you won't be you anymore. So the warning needs to go out. You need to know that these things are on the horizon. And there's intentions for this stuff. While you're in the earth, God would have you to be the fullest representation of who He made you to be while you're here. The desire of the world is to get you to bow your knee to the world and the world system and to acknowledge through your free will and to line up with it and to say that your resource, your benefit, your what everything that you are is in that thing. And they want to take out of you and extract out of you the very thing of value, which is the soul that God has put in you. And they want to keep that, harvest that, and siphon that off and use it for all eternity for their purposes. You make a choice. But we live in perilous times. But know that these things are out there. And if necessary, hey, if you've got to walk out into the desert, because that's the only place where there's any peace, and that's the only place, well, you know what? You do whatever God tells you to do. Trust Him. He will lead and guide you through. You will find in the scriptures plenty of examples of people that were in difficult and trying times and God led them. But you got to know His voice. And Jesus said, "My sheep will know My voice. They will not follow another." You've got to know His voice. You've got to follow His voice. You've got to be led by Him. So the waves are going to keep crashing all around you. Things are going to continue to escalate all around you. Don't go for that. Don't look at those things. You can be aware, but don't let that be your focus. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Him. Sorrow, worry, perplexity, all those things are just what the world is trying to sow into people right now. To get them off balance, to get them off course, to get them into another place, another state of mind, so they're malleable, so that they can mold them into their own little thing. Peace. Peace. Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you like the world gives you." He gives us the true peace. He gives us the true bread of life. He is the water of life. We drink from Him. And in doing so, that life flows through us and into every situation around us. You were lit ablaze by the Spirit of God when you walk with Him, and that light of life is just burning bright in your life. You have purpose while you're here in the earth. Let God reveal that purpose to you so that you can carry that out. Okay, part of what I'm supposed to do while I'm here is this. This is part of it. It's a small piece. It's a tiny piece of it, but it's part of it. And each time that God nudges me, I'm like, all right, time to switch it on right here. Reporting for duty. That's it. And I do this piece. Spirit of God flows through because I'm under that authority structure. I am under His authority. I do what He has for me to do. I say what He has for me to say. I only want to speak the words that I hear the Father speaking. I only want to do the things that I see the Father doing. That's the way I want to live. I want to live like Christ. So here it is. Boom. Done. And then move on to the next thing. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be perplexed about it. I don't have to. Because there's freedom in following Christ. There's just this incredible wide-eyed wonderment that you would have as a child of an incredible journey and an incredible adventure. You can be at peace. You can do the things that the Father has for you to do. The world will never know the life that the child of God has. We'll never know the joy and the peace that the child of God has. They'll never understand that which is true and that which is real and that which is truly important, because they've been taken another way. But you, my brothers and sisters, you have been given life, and God intends for you to have it more abundantly. Walk it out and thank Him for it each and every day. Hey, here's something too. You guys, you gotta pray. I know sometimes it gets heavy and it gets a little bit tough. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is to bring you into a place where it's tough for you to pray. It's tough for you to read. You know what I do sometimes is I will, if you know, sometimes I... Sometimes, I of course, I go into those moments where it's just like, ugh. I want to read, and I know if I would read the scriptures, it would be a blessing to me. Sometimes I just turn it on. I turn on the audio Bibles. They're out there. You know, it's so great that the Word is... So I will put that King James Bible on, and I will listen to the scriptures, and I will let those go into the air, even if I just feel oppressed and I have trouble reading. I will pray, and I will let that be something that just... Pray, call out to God, and send and deal with these things in the realm of the Spirit. Do not, yes, you're going to have attacks that are going to come from the enemy, and that's going to be part of it, because the enemy is running a war against the children of God because he knows his time is short. And so he's putting out every resource he can to try to hinder, to try to keep you from fulfilling the purpose for which God put you in the earth for. You are the focus. So, you know what? Just take that as a badge of honor and move on, knowing that the power has been put in you to speak the truth, to live the truth, to be the truth. You have weapons that have been given to you by the Spirit of the living God to destroy and decimate the works of the devil. Pray for one another. Pray for the people out there that you know that are putting the message out there. You guys should be praying for people like Zeph and Trish. You should be praying for people like Brother Thomas and Kunita. You should be praying for us and for our team. You should be praying for people that are standing up and speaking the truth. You should be praying for those that are doing... You should be praying for one another. You should be praying for other voices and other people that you know that are out there. You should be praying for their protection, for the clarity of their direction, for their provision and the resources to be there so that they can carry out the work that God has for them. You should be praying for each other. You should be praying for each other's health. You should be praying for revelation of the attacks of the enemy, that they would be exposed for what they are so that they could be dealt with quickly and swiftly. The enemy would try to keep us in isolation and would try to keep us blocked away from any type of fellowship. You should be enjoying the fellowship of the saints where and when you have it. Bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't speak ill against them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Because you know what? We're all at some place at some point in time. So just bless each other. And if there's some point in time where you may be off with each other, if you all keep seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, everything's going to sort itself out. As long as you're seeking Christ first, He'll bring things back around. So just like in the book of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas had a falling out over Mark, and such a sharp dispute, and they went two different directions, and Paul took Silas and went on his own mission, and Barnabas took Mark and went a different direction. But eventually, a time to come, you know, Paul asked for Mark that he would be sent to help them, and something had changed subsequently. Because even though Mark fell off and had a hard time early on and wasn't reliable, but as time went on, God continued to work in him. So there may be disagreements among brothers and sisters in Christ, but if you seek first the kingdom of God, God's going to work it out. Now, there's a big difference between that, because there can even be peace in those disagreements. There's a big difference between that, though, and those that are on the side of the world that are using religion as a means of control and trying to bring people back into bondage. Galatians talks about that. That's a good book to read, those six chapters. No, that's a different thing. Those are deceitful workers. Those are those that have come in that are savage wolves that try to scatter the flock. That's a whole different thing, and we deal with those as we see them. But among the brethren, among those that love Christ, among those that are not trying to game you, not trying to scam you, that don't have a vested interest in the outcome, that want to see you fulfill the purpose for which God put you in the earth, among those, bless one another in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, we bless you right now. And Father, I just pray. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ right now. I pray that you'd strengthen them. I pray that you encourage them. In Jesus' name right now, we just rebuke and break every attack of the enemy against the children of God and everyone that is listening right now. We expose the deceitful workers and those that would try to listen and hear and try to throw attacks and try to do different things from the side of the enemy. In Jesus' name, all of that is canceled and it comes to nothing. But Father, instead, Lord, just like when the prophet Balaam was trying to send curses, it always turned into a blessing. Father, in Jesus' name, we bless the children of God because we are blessed because we walk with you. And Lord, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that the blessing of God would rest upon each and every one of us. Every child of God listening to this right now, may the blessing of God rest upon their lives. Lord, bless the work of our hands. Bless the places that we go, the things that we do, the words that we speak. May they be life. And may they be truth, and may they cut through all of the clutter and the confusion and cut to the heart and speak what needs to be said in such a time as this. Father, we bless each and every one of us right now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just send an angelic guard to be with each and every one to protect your children, Father. To watch over your children, Father. And I pray for an increase in clarity and hearing ability in each and every one of us to know your voice and to have just a solid assurance, Father, that it is you speaking to us in this time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we bless one another and we carry on. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Always love to talk to you guys whenever God gives us the go-ahead. So, all right. We'll talk to you again sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.